Whistle blows for full time. Atlanta United, as a melee is breaking out now at center circle right as the full-time whistle blows, because Nagby was taken down pretty hard. Elfath trying to separate the two teams. Now Almiron with Marinovic coming up to get a piece of this. Atlanta United players coming off the bench trying to steer everyone to the clubhouse. And it looks like things are sort of simmering down here. Guzan came up here to exchange some words. The two teams still shouting at each other. And now peace prevails as the shouts turn to handshakes.
A lot of shouting at Felipe, because he's the one who went in for the cheap shot on the final whistle to Nagby. Surprised Elfath didn't have anything to do with it. He just blew the final whistle and wanted to get out of there. But Darlington Nagby is still very upset about Felipe's challenge there at the end. A team official's walking Darlington Nagby as far away from the center circle as possible. You don't see Darlington Nagby upset very often. And he wanted to go at Felipe.
If you are wondering, these teams do not play again this year unless they meet in MLS Cup. That's probably a good thing, because there would be a lot of beef lingering after a match like this. Looks like Tata got in the middle of all that. Tried to steer Andrew Carlton out of there. You don't want the 17-year-old, who's a very, very calm young man, by the way. I'd be very surprised if he'd be an aggressor in a situation like this. But it looks like cooler heads have prevailed, and both teams will walk off to their clubhouses now. Atlanta United with their second consecutive victory, 4-1 over Vancouver Whitecaps. More in a moment on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. So Atlanta United with a hat trick from Joseph Martinez and an own goal by Aaron Mond put 4 on the board, 3 in the second half, and they end up routing Vancouver Whitecaps tonight 4-1. The clean sheet spoiled by Eric Hurtado, who scored on a breakaway in the 85th minute. Martinez driving the spike in the supporter section to our left. No doubt he is the man of the match, as he scored thrice tonight. You noticed something after that near melee, though, at the end of the match with Andrew Carlton, who played about 15 minutes tonight, having a discussion with LGP.
Yeah, after everything kind of quieted down, Leandro Gonzalez-Pires walked with Andrew Carlton for a good couple of minutes, talking to him, pointing out some different things. It looked like Carlton acknowledged it, kind of said, my bad. I'm not sure exactly, you know, what was being said. But we've talked about this a lot in the early going. Leandro Gonzalez-Pires, for a player who came here without speaking any English from Argentina, he is taking on a critical leadership role in this team, looking like a future captain. And to see that situation, Gonzalez-Pires, you know, kind of taking the 17-year-old under his wing and pointing out a few things. When Carlton played well, he came on and played well. But Gonzalez-Pires taking the opportunity to point out a couple things that he can do better.
Atlanta United totally dominant statistically, 72% of the possession, 93% passing accuracy, 21 shots to 6. Corners were 7-2 in favor of Atlanta United, and they win the match 4-1. Send in your questions right now at Longshoe, at MikeConti929, and at ATLSoccer929. We will answer your questions during the full-time report, which is coming up right after this. Atlanta United 4-1 over Vancouver Whitecaps on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
You've been listening to our Atlanta United as we continue Season 2 of the return of MLS.
Again, the largest crown of the MLS this weekend, and Atlanta United ends up scoring 7 goals over 2 matches on the homestand tonight. 4-1, they defeat Vancouver Whitecaps with Joseph Martinez notching a hat trick and an own goal by Aaron Mond, leading to the 4 for Atlanta United, who played up a man for the final 77 minutes of this match, because Kendall Waston was sent off at the 13th minute. And remember, Kai Kamara never played at all for Vancouver Whitecaps tonight. So they were really fighting up a hill. But Atlanta United did not really get the breathing room until Mond's own goal in the 58th minute. And then the floodgates opened from there. The man of the match brought to you by Heineken. It's hard to not be the man of the match, Jason, when you have a hat trick.
Kind of an easy one tonight. Joseph Martinez does the business in the box. great assist from Andrew Carlton to get his first professional assist. Great assist from Miguel Almiron on the breakaway. Joseph Martinez, though, gets the job done. 14 goals here at Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
It's the fourth hat trick of Joseph Martinez's career. He's now one hat trick away from tying the all-time MLS record held by three players, including Landon Donovan. That's pretty impressive for a relatively short stint in MLS.
That's pretty impressive considering he missed about half of last season due to injury. He's played, 24, 25 matches in his MLS career? Four hat tricks? Not bad.
And Martinez now with four goals on the year, so he will be among the league leaders in goals scored by the time this weekend is over, if not the leader in goals scored. So Joseph Martinez, the Heineken man of the match. As we look at the statistics, Atlanta United dominant. 21 shots to 6 for Vancouver. 4 shots on target to 2 for Vancouver. And Atlanta United had 4 blocks to Vancouver's 2. Atlanta United with 7 corners to Vancouver's 2. Atlanta United conceded 14 fouls. Vancouver with 9. And then here's where it really gets staggering. Atlanta United had 72% of the possession. Not entirely surprising. Vancouver was at 33% of their win last week over Houston Dynamo, but tonight only 28% for them. And Atlanta United, this stands out to me more than anything else, Jason, 92.5% passing accuracy tonight. And I think it speaks to someone who really deserves a lot of credit for the way he played. And I like the way he jumped into the melee at the end of the match, and that's Darlington Nagbe.
Darlington Nagbe set the pace for this team tonight. That's why he was brought here, to face opponents like Vancouver who are going to sit back, going to soak up pressure. And Darlington Nagbe picked the right spots, when to go forward with speed, when to slow it down, when to switch the point of attack. And Nagbe at the end, really cheap shot from Felipe right at midfield. Ismail Elfath blows the final whistle, tries to get out of dodge. Darlington Nagbe was not having it from Felipe. Got in his face. Teammates jumped to Darlington Nagby's defense. You know, I think you're starting to see this team really come together. And a game like this that has a little bit of an edge to it, a little chippiness, you start to see that come out of a group.
A point that has been made to us a couple times on Twitter by some of the 17s, and keep your questions and your comments coming. Jason and I will get to them as we continue on the full-time report. Tweet those comments to @Longshoe, @MikeConti929, and @ATLSoccer929, and we will get to your questions and comments through the full-time report. Jeff Lorenowitz was put into the book in added time in the first half, his first caution of the year. And again for Vancouver, Kendall Watson, who was already playing on one caution on the year, red carded after a VAR in the 13th minute. He will miss the next match unless, for some unknown reason, they would reverse it on appeal. I can't imagine that will happen, especially the way that he charged after the referee. They also had a caution to Efrahim Juarez and a caution to Jordi Reyna, and they probably could have had a few more. It was a very chippy match. When we come back on the full-time report, we'll have the highlights of the play of the match and a live interview with Frosted Orange. Andrew Carlton's going to join us after notching his first professional assist tonight. That's ahead on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Well, it is the sixth time in only, 38 matches in Atlanta United history where they've scored four or more goals. This evening, a 4-1 win over Vancouver Whitecaps, a hat trick for Joseph Martinez, and an own goal by Aaron Mond. Hurtado ruined the clean sheet in the 85th minute for Vancouver. Let's go through the highlights now, and everything opened up very, very early in the 13th minute when there was a takedown in the box, and referee Ismail Elfath went to the VAR, and when he came out of the VAR, Vancouver was in a world of trouble.
He goes penalty.
And red.
And a red card. A red card to Waston. So Waston is out of the match. Atlanta, and Waston charges at the referee now. He has to be restrained by teammates. The assistant referees come off the line to try to restrain him.
Bringing in my inner Tony Schiavone there. But that's pretty much what it was. And any hope of Waston getting that red card overturned on appeal is probably going to be slim and none, and Slim just left town because of the way that he charged after Ismael Elfat. So now remember, Vancouver already playing without Kai Kamara for some reason. He didn't make the trip. And now Waston, who's their best set-piece player, is out. It sets up a penalty kick opportunity in the 14th minute for Joseph Martinez. Here comes Joseph. Shoots. Scores! And it would remain 1-0 through the balance of the first half. Atlanta United dominating possession. They had it 70% of the time in the first half, although very similar to last Sunday against DC United, Jason. There was a moment there at the end of the first half where Vancouver, even playing down a man, had a couple good opportunities to draw even.
The man advantage really didn't change the approach for Vancouver. They just were going to sit back and soak up pressure and try to hit you on the counter, and they nearly did at the end of the first half, and they nearly did a couple times in the second half. Atlanta United needs to be a little more clinical in front of goal. Miguel Almiron had a number of chances tonight that could have ended the game as a competitive contest earlier. They need to get more ruthless in front of goal. We're seeing too many chances wasted.
On to the second half with Atlanta United leading 1-0 and again playing up a man. Breck Shea introduced into the match for Vancouver, so a slightly different look for Vancouver Whitecaps, but Atlanta United was able to go forward a bunch. And finally, in the 58th minute, they convert on what turned out to be an own goal by Aaron Mond, but as you'll hear, the buildup was beautiful. Played forward to Vizalba, turns on it, plays it to Gressel on the edge of the box, trucks Martinez and in! I think an own goal! I thought correctly, because it was an own goal to Aaron Mond. It's good when I think correctly. That doesn't happen too terribly often. So 2-0 to Atlanta United in the 58th minute. And then 2 minutes later, the hot play of the match brought to you by Scanna, the second of third goals. And it was a beauty by Joseph Martinez.
Kratz playing it forward to Almiron. Ahead to Martinez. Onside break. Martinez in alone. Shot. Score!
As Jason described, Martinez was dropped basically at the midfield stripe.
Almiron.
Then Almiron was taken down hard on the back side of that, and that really could have gone to VAR for another red card, but no matter. I mean, it ended up being a goal to give Atlanta United the 3-0 lead.
Should have been a yellow for sure to Aja, and it was those types of plays that kept building and kept building throughout the match, and that's why you had a little bit of a pull apart at the final whistle. Ismael Elfat let a lot of stuff go like that tonight. We talked about it before the match. He calls a lot of fouls, but he doesn't give a lot of cards. And I feel like a card there might have calmed things down a little bit.
So Atlanta United with a 3-0 lead. However, Vancouver did not quit on the match, even though they were down a man. And in the 85th minute, they ruined the clean sheet with Eric Hurtado beating Michael Parkhurst in a race to the ball. But apparently we will only hear Atlanta United goals here on our recap. And that's
fine.
Because 3 minutes later, Joseph Martinez restored the three-goal advantage for Atlanta United. Escobar starting up the right side again. Gressel finding himself with a lot of room. Played forward to Carlton on the edge of the 18. He turns on it and shoots. Martinez scores! A hat trick for Joseph Martinez! So a nice cross by Andrew Carlton, his first MLS assist. In the longest he's played with the first team in an MLS match. Of course, we did see him in U.S. Open Cup last year, but Joseph Martinez gets on the end of it and makes it a 4-1 lead, and that would hold up for a 4-1 victory. We're going to eventually hear from Andrew Carlton down in the clubhouse for a live interview, but, you know, the 17s, they've been calling for Andrew Carlton. They want to see him play more. We had an opportunity really to see him go head-to-head with another 17-year-old, Alfonso Davies, and obviously Carlton had the fresher legs. But, boy, Carlton really did well in the 15 minutes or so in which he played.
He made the most of the opportunity, and that's what a young player has to do in this spot. Andrew Carlton is still earning the trust of Tata Martino. You're seeing him now back-to-back games where he comes off the bench. Would have played more last week, but DC pulls one back, and Tata Martino wanted to keep the lineup as it was. He gets in tonight and makes the most of it. Defensively, strong. Work off the ball, strong. And then he gets his head up and does what you bring Andrew Carlton on to do. sets up a chance for another for a teammate and picked out Martinez on the back post perfectly.
45,003, the paid attendance tonight at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, which will certainly be the largest crowd in MLS again this weekend. If you missed it last weekend, 72,000, not only an MLS record, but the fourth largest soccer crowd in the entire world. Last weekend, obviously, the smaller seating capacity configuration tonight, as it will be until, I believe, July when we start to get some midsummer matches. But the 17s obviously did their job. And like we said after the D.C. match last week, when you get a big lead here in front of the 17s, you know, you could call it the 12th man, I guess. I don't know if that's really the correct technical term in soccer. But it's just, it's really hard to beat this Atlanta United side.
Well, let's go back to the 2-0 lead, and Vancouver had a couple of chances on a break, and Atlanta stood tall defensively. And that's been an issue for Atlanta United at times, giving up a quick goal off of a restart after a goal, where it's just like they switch off. And this time, they're able to recover the ball, get to Almiron at midfield. Almiron takes the hit from Aja, but delivers a perfect through ball to Joseph Martinez, who beats the offside trap. Those are the little things that you take out of this as a big positive, that Atlanta United was able to soak up the pressure from Vancouver a little bit and hit them on the break.
And this is a high-quality win for Atlanta United, all things considered, because Vancouver, and again, acknowledging they were not playing with Kai Kamara, and I guess we'll learn more about that later. Vancouver Whitecaps officially saying he has a groin pull, but he did not come with the team to Atlanta, and then somewhat bizarrely went on his Instagram story and posted a video of himself hanging out with his kids in Vancouver. We'll find more about that later. I understand Vancouver was not playing with their best 11 tonight by any stretch, and then Waston being sent off added to it. But this is a high-quality win for Atlanta United, is it not?
It is, because Vancouver is an opponent who plays an absolute opposite style of play, and that was the style of play that gave Atlanta United problems last season. And to be able to get it done tonight without Ezequiel Barco, who's part of the answer to teams bunkering. You want Barco to be able to take people 1v1 and create something off the dribble, but Darlington Nagbe tonight really was the conductor that this team needed. Still a little worried about some things defensively. Still a little worried about the finishing, because it's not quite there yet. We saw some moments where Vishalba, Almiron, Martinez, not 100% in sync. Definitely could have been more on the scoreboard for Atlanta United. But they get the job done, and they get the big 3 points, back-to-back wins here at home. And they're going to face a team in Minnesota in a couple weeks who's feeling pretty good about themselves right now.
Whether or not they should is up for debate, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But as we have discussed numerous times, in MLS, try to get a draw on the road, but you've got to defend your home field. Atlanta United, one of the best teams in the league last year on their home field, 11-3-3, and here they are, two attempts, two wins to start the 2018 season.
Last season, I believe it was 48 goals at home for Atlanta United. It was the largest total in the last 4 or 5 years in Major League Soccer. And now you're off to 6 goals in 2 matches at home. It looks like Mercedes-Benz is the source of the goleada for Atlanta United. All the goals at the Benz for the Five Stripes.
Yeah, it's a really good thing. It's been fun to watch. It's been a lot of fun for us to call these first two matches here at home. Obviously, you, the 17s, are a big part of that. Here's your last call for questions now. At Longshoe, at Mike Conti 929, and at ATL Soccer 929. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Andrew Carlton down in the Atlanta United clubhouse, and we will get to your questions and your feedback on Twitter, along with strong opinions tonight about the way the Five Stripes played. Mostly good. We'll get into all of that right after this. Once again, the final tonight for Mercedes-Benz Stadium, Atlanta United with a 4-1 win over Vancouver Whitecaps. This is the full-time report on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
News and Talk 1380 WAOK is always in the...
So Atlanta United with a 4-1 win over Vancouver Whitecaps, 6 points in 2 home matches over a 6-day span, which is something obviously that the Five Stripes will gladly take. And for Andrew Carlton, who got a nice little run in the second half, gets his first career professional assist, and he's standing by in the Atlanta United clubhouse to join Jason and I on the full-time report. Andrew, it has to feel good not only to get the opportunity to play, but to set up a hat trick for Joseph Martinez.
Yeah, hey guys, what's going on? You know, it was great to get out there, you know, get a solid 15 minutes in and to be able to set up a goal for Yosef. It was a great feeling and made the night extra special.
Walk us through the assist, Andrew.
Yeah, so Julian was just going down the right side, and, you know, I kind of checked away, and he cut it back for me, and I took a touch and just looked up back stick, and Yosef was just peeling off, and I just put it up there, and he went and got it.
We were having fun up here watching the nice little duel you were having with Alfonso Davies, who is also 17 years of age. You obviously had the fresher legs, but how did you feel going up against someone that arguably was Vancouver's best player on the pitch tonight?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've been watching Alfonso Davies as he plays pretty consistently for Vancouver. But, you know, he's a great player, and I thought he was probably their best player tonight. And, you know, I might have had the fresher legs, but, you know, he did well. You know, he's a fun to play against, and he's a great player to watch, and I'm sure he has a very bright future.
You hear it just like we do on social media. The fans have been, you know, clamoring for more playing time for you. What are the things that the coaching staff and Tata Martino have told you that they want you to work on for you to earn more playing time?
I mean, I think just maturing, you know. I'm still 17, you know, and I think they just want me to, whenever I go on, to be able to be successful, you know. They do a great job, you know, helping me out and getting me better each and every day. And, you know, I try to work as hard as I can in practice. And, you know, the harder you work, you know, the more you put in, the more you get out. And so I think they're doing a good job, you know, making sure I'm ready to go in, you know, easing me into the team. And hopefully as the time goes on, I can make more and more of an impact.
There was a little fracas there at the end. And then afterwards, I noticed you and LGP were having a little bit of the discussion walking off the pitch. What was he telling you?
Yeah, he was just, you know, we were mostly talking about the game. It wasn't really about the little scuffle going on. You know, we were just talking about the game, and, you know, he was just giving me a couple pointers, you know, about how the game went and a little things I could work on. And, you know, that's something he's really, really good about. You know, I enjoy Leandro, and he always is trying to help me out and be able to keep progressing as a player.
So you're heading over to Europe now to join the U.S. U-20 squad. You know, how important is it for you to represent your country with the national teams?
Oh, I mean, representing your country is one of the best honors. And, you know, now moving on from the 17s up to the U-20s is a big honor. And, you know, I'm looking forward to it. We got a couple of friendlies out there. And, you know, getting a few minutes out here was nice. And hopefully I can be able to take that and move it on to the 20s and get some games out there.
It's going to be a 12-day training camp, and you're going to face two sides over the 12 days. Then you'll come back here ahead of the match against Minnesota United. But that's a lot to kind of cram in over the next 2 weeks, and I'm assuming you're leaving tomorrow, right?
Yeah, we fly out tomorrow night.
Well, good. Get some sleep. But it's going to be a great opportunity for you, obviously, to play with the U-20s. And just great play tonight, Andrew. I know I speak for everyone. You hear the ovations, right, when you come out onto the pitch. I mean, you definitely get the loudest ovations of any of the substitutes, it seems.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they make it extra special every time I come on. There's been, you know, the first two times I couldn't even understand what they were saying. It just sounded like noise. I was so, like, in a blur. But, you know, tonight I was like, you know, I need to focus on hearing what they're actually saying. And so this time I heard a decent amount. So it was awesome.
Andrew, safe trip to Europe. Stay healthy, and we'll see you again in 2 weeks.
Sweet. Thank you.
Andrew Carlton, Frosted Orange. I don't know if he likes that nickname or not, but you could call him Frosted Sunshine. That's the new Chick-fil-A drink, if he'd rather be called that.
The varsity might be upset with that.
But Andrew Carlton, as he said, got a good 15 minutes in tonight. So in an MLS match, that is the most he has played. Officially 16 minutes on the year, but remember, there's a lot of added time at the end of the D.C. match last Sunday, and he was on for all of that. But you had predicted at halftime that this match kind of called for Andrew Carlton's introduction as play was to continue in the second half.
You just look at the way he has put himself into the picture with the first team. It's the correct progression. And I know the fans get impatient wanting to see the hometown hero on the field more. But Andrew Carlton with a strong preseason, great final match against the Charleston Battery. Tata Martino said at that point he put himself closer to the first team. He's been in the 18 for every match, made the very short cameo against DC United. And tonight, against an opponent, a man down, really packing in the back line, two lines of four, very compact. You needed a player with Andrew Carlton's vision. And Andrew Carlton is now showing, and he got the reward on the assist tonight, that he can break opponents down when needed, and he can make an impact. As Andrew said, that's what the coaching staff is impressing upon him. When you get time, you have to make an impact with that time. He did tonight.
I'm curious to know your thoughts, because I think a couple weeks ago we were assuming that Andrew Carlton was probably going to be the number 10 with Atlanta United 2 and get a lot of opportunities to play in USL matches. Well, now here he's been a second-half sub in the last two MLS matches. Obviously did not play in Houston, but that match got a little goofy. Has the plan changed for him now, and is it possible that he's going to stay up with the first team and maybe not play as much with Atlanta United 2?
Absolutely could have, and I think the call-up to the U-20s that takes him out of the Atlanta United 2 match next week also kind of changes that, because you're going to see the Atlanta United 2 squad next week at Colray Field against New York Red Bulls 2, and they're going to try to find a little continuity. And that team is going to look very different week to week, because it's going to be a lot of players from the first team who are not seeing time, some academy players mixing in. So continuity will be, you know, a tough thing for that team to find. But Andrew Carlton, based off missing that first game within USL and what he did tonight, I think he's just put himself even closer to the first team now, and you're going to see him as an option off the bench. The question is, with Ezequiel Barco coming back, what the rotation starts to look like.
Well, and that brings us to a question that I know we're getting on Twitter, and we're going to take your questions more specifically, but Barco could, and I really bold and underline that because we don't know for sure, but he could be back 2 weeks from tonight up in Minneapolis against Minnesota United. Some 17s are very, very high on the play of Julian Gressel right now. So the question becomes, when Barco comes back, who comes out of the 11?
The 17s aren't going to like my answer to that, but Julian Gressel comes out of the 11 right now, because Ezequiel Barco is expected to be the man for this team. That's why they paid a reported $15 million to bring him in. We saw Barco start to develop that confidence with this group in the Minnesota match in preseason. You could almost like see him grow taller as the match went on. As strong as Julian Gressel has played, and he had a lot of opportunities tonight because of what Vancouver decided to do defensively. They gave him a lot of space on the wing. Gressel made some things happen. He also didn't take advantage of every opportunity he had. Ezequiel Barco is expected to be the player to come on to not just whip in crosses like we saw tonight. He's expected to be the player to beat people 1v1 when they stack the defense like they did tonight. That's why you bring Ezequiel Barco into this team. He's going to play when he's healthy.
Yeah, you don't pay a $15 million transfer fee, the highest in MLS history, to not have him in the starting 11 when he's healthy. Now, we also don't know how that quad is reacting.
We don't know
right
if he's
now
going to be 90 minutes healthy
exactly
when he comes back.
And I think that's an important point.
Right.
He may perhaps be a sub
right
against Minnesota United, but the plan is long-term, he's going to be your starter, and there's no debate about that. It is kind of fun to think about, though, and we'll get to your question in a second. Atlanta United has scored 7 goals without Barco. Mm-hmm. Imagine when Barco is finally healthy and in the 11. It's going to be very, very exciting. To the questions now and the feedback from the 17s. We've gotten some good ones tonight.
Yeah, lots of praise for Julian Gressel tonight. He had so many opportunities, because in the first half, Vancouver really got compact as they were kind of sorting themselves out after the Waston red card. So Gressel was third in passes in the team tonight. A little rare for the outside backs to see that much of the ball. But Vancouver basically, you know, rolled the dice and said, we're going to let Gressel have it, we're going to let McCann have it at times, and we're going to sit and wait on the cross. And in the first half, Vancouver's that strategy worked well. Second half, Atlanta started to find other ways to open it up. But lots of praise for Julian Gressel. Mark Meyer says Julian Gressel coming into his own, going to be hard to justify putting him on the bench if he keeps this up. The justification is that $15 million transfer fee. That's what's going to change it.
I'm trying to think of a way where Gressel and Barco could be on the field together.
Well, there will be times. 11. There will be times when Miguel Almiron needs a rest, when Tito Villalba needs a rest. And that's a question that I would have coming out of this tonight. Tito Villalba was great last week. He was my man of the match last week. Tonight really wasn't on the same step as Almiron and Martinez at times. Could you see this lineup in this shape with Barco playing next to Martinez as a creative withdrawn forward, very free to drift and find the game, and you keep Gressel in as the right wing back if you play a 3-5-2, then you have Villalba coming off the bench. That's a big weapon coming off the bench, but you're going to have a big weapon on the bench, whether it's Gressel, whether it's Villalba, whether it's Barco as he's getting healthy, and as we're seeing right now, as it's Andrew Carlton, an attacking weapon off the bench. Atlanta United is not going to have a steady 11 this year. Last year it was pretty easy to pick the lineup. This year, not so much.
And injuries are a reality of soccer as well. And one thing that we have not really talked too much about here on the full-time report is the status of Franco Escobar. And again, if you're just getting in your car, you're stuck in traffic, and you're listening to us, we do not know the status of Franco Escobar right now. He had a scary collision with Brad Guzan, who was coming out to punch a ball in added time at the end of the match. And Guzan punched the ball, and then he punched with his forearm, Franco Escobar in the head. And he went down very hard, as you saw, and he was stretchered off the pitch. He was conscious the whole time, it appeared. As Jason said, didn't look like he got knocked out, but obviously head injuries and concussions, a big, big concern in soccer and in MLS. So no match coming up this weekend for Atlanta United. That would be something to consider, but we do not know the status of Franco Escobar right now. And as we say repeatedly, Atlanta United can't afford injuries on the back line that will cost matches.
That's a part of the squad that you don't have as much depth. Another great tweet to us from John Sosby, our friend over in Germany who listens every week. Larry Munson would say we broke their nose. If you mention Larry Munson in a tweet in this, you're going to get red on the air. I can go ahead and promise you that as the season goes on. John goes on to say, it was great to see the attack from the wing, which was missing often when teams bunkered down last year. Just have to keep working on those final connections.
John, that goal in the 60th minute by Joseph on the breakaway, he struck it with a hobnail boot. How about that?
There you go.
I would say it for his hat trick, but that was off his head on a nice setup by Andrew Carlton. Thank you for your feedback and your questions. Do you have one more?
We've got a few others. We can get to them after the break, though.
Okay, great. So we'll take one final break. We're going to come back, not only take a few more of your questions, but also we're going to look ahead to that matchup with Loons now, a very interesting side that has won two matches, but the quality of the teams which they have defeated, you might be able to call that into question a little bit. However, they are standing with two wins and 6 points as we go into that match 2 weeks from tonight in Minneapolis. More to come on the full-time report in a moment. Again, the final score, Atlanta United with a 4-1 win over Vancouver Whitecaps on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. So Atlanta United moves to two wins, one loss, no draws on the season, and they get 6 points out of this two-match homestand with a 4-1 win over Vancouver Whitecaps this evening.
Trey Morrison, listening to the post-match coverage, he says about Julian Gressel that it's not that he was disappointed with my answer, but the fact that Gressel would come off the pitch when Barco returns, how nice it is to have this embarrassment of riches and the flexibility of the formation right now. And that's why the team was built the way it is. You know, you have competition for spots. That's why it's not easy for Andrew Carlton to find playing time, because you have one of the best rosters in Major League Soccer. That's why it won't be easy once everyone is healthy for Julian Gressel, Miguel Almiron, Tito Villalba, Ezequiel Barco to all play together. It's going to be very competitive, and I think you're going to see some mixing and matching based off the opposition and based off current form.
Well, it will be interesting to see what happens in 2 weeks, because Barco could be back in time for that match against Minnesota United. During the break, we were looking at Minnesota United's upcoming schedule, and they actually do play next weekend. They're going to play New York Red Bulls, so they will not have the benefit of a week off as Atlanta United will have. Now, should point out, it's not totally a week off for Atlanta United. They will train. Miguel Almiron being called up to Paraguay's national team, and he'll play against the U.S. men's national team in suburban Raleigh-Durham this coming week. And as we said, Andrew Carlton, along with Chris Goslin, who's not really up with the first team yet, but those two will be going to Europe to play with the U-20s. But, you know, Minnesota's won two matches. is over Orlando and Chicago, but they've won two matches.
Second time in their MLS history that they've won back-to-back matches. Chicago today gave Minnesota some very generous goalkeeping out of Richard Sanchez, watching the highlights back. But Minnesota's finding ways to get results. And really, you look at Minnesota since about the 60-65 minute mark in their opener against San Jose, and they've looked pretty good. You know, they had a good response after going down 3-0 in San Jose on the opening night of the season. Scored two to make it a contest late. This week, they're able to overcome the injury to Kevin Molino. He's gone for the season. And players like Sam Nicholson, Miguel Ibarra, they stepped up. Ibsen gets his first career MLS goal today. Sam Nicholson finds the winner after Chicago had answered back. Minnesota will not be the pushover that some expect them to be.
You can call into question the quality of the opponents that they've beaten, but they're feeling good about themselves. And when you have that confidence, that makes for a very difficult opponent.
They are. They're saying that they feel like they're on the cusp of something special. Maybe it's a little early to say that after facing a shorthanded Orlando squad, but you get the win on the road. And then facing a shorthanded Chicago squad today, Bastian Schweinsteiger misses the match he and his wife are expecting. Elliot Collier gets the first goal for Chicago in his MLS debut. Still, Minnesota finds a way to get it done. Yeah. Back-to-back wins. They're on 6 points this season. Not too shabby for the Loons.
And they could be on 7 or even 9, depending on how that match goes with the New York Red Bulls next weekend. But that'll be our next broadcast. We're back on 92.9 The Game, and we will be for the next couple months. That'll be 2 weeks from tonight. Remember now, this match was initially supposed to be played on Easter Sunday. They moved it to the night before Easter. So 2 weeks from tonight, 8:30 will be the kickoff time, Eastern time. Jason and I will be on the air with Five Stripes Countdown at 8 p.m. 2 weeks from tonight on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And next week, Atlanta United's first team will be off, but the USL team makes its debut at Colbert Field, facing New York Red Bulls too. And you'll see some members of the first team, some of the guys like Miles Robinson, who hasn't seen the field yet, some of the guys like an Andrew Wheeler-Aminu, who have played well in preseason. They might see some time with Atlanta United too next week, and there are still tickets available for the match at Colbert Field next weekend, Saturday night.
Yeah, definitely want you to come out to Colbert Field, but if you can't, there will be a video stream of that match, and Mr. Longshoe
Hello.
Will be behind the mic, so looking forward to that. Okay, for Miller Pope, our on-site engineer, our producer Jimmy Vance, and our studio producer Oren Romaine, I'm Mike Conti. The final score again, Atlanta United 4-1 over Vancouver Whitecaps. We'll see you 2 weeks from tonight on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Thank you for listening to us tonight, though, on News and Talk 1380 WA.